Pastoral Care by St. Gregory the Great, Book 3, Chapter 36. Concerning the exhortation to be addressed to many at once, that it may so aid the virtues of each among them, that vices contrary to such virtues may not grow up through it. These are the things that a bishop of souls should observe in the diversity of his preaching, that he may solicitously oppose suitable medicines to the diseases of his several hearers. But whereas it is a matter of great anxiety in exhorting individuals to be of service to them according to their individual needs, since it is a very difficult thing to instruct each person in what concerns himself, dealing out due consideration to each case, it is yet far more difficult to admonish innumerable hearers laboring under various passions at one and the same time with one common exhortation. For in this case, the speech is to be tempered with such art that, the vices of the hearers being diverse, it may be found suitable to them severally, and yet be not diverse from itself, that it pass indeed with one stroke through the midst of passions, but, after the manner of a two-edged sword, cut the swellings of carnal thoughts on either side, so that humility be so preached to the proud, that yet fear is not increased in the timid, that confidence be so infused into the timid, that yet the unbridled license of the proud does not grow, that solicitude in doing good be so preached to the listless and torpid, that yet license of immoderate action is not increased in the unquiet, that bounds be so set on the unquiet, that yet careless torpor is not produced in the listless, that wrath be so extinguished in the impatient, that yet negligence does not grow in the easy and soft-hearted, that the soft-hearted be so inflamed to zeal, that yet fire is not added to the wrathful, that liberality in giving is so infused into the niggardly, that yet the reins of profusion are in no wise loosened to the prodigal, that frugality be so preached to the prodigal, that care to keep perishable things is yet not increased in the niggardly, that marriage be so praised to the incontinent, that yet those who are already continent are not called back to voluptuousness, that virginity of the body is so praised to the continent, that yet fecundity of the flesh does not come to be despised by the married. Good things are so to be preached that bad things are not assisted sideways. The highest good is so to be praised that the lowest is not despaired of. The lowest is so to be cherished that there be no cessation of striving for the highest, from the lowest thing being thought sufficient. Chapter 37. Of the exhortation to be applied to one person who labors under contrary passions. It is indeed a serious labor for the preacher to keep an eye, in his public preaching, to the hidden affections and motives of individuals, and, after the manner of the palaestra, to turn himself with skill to either side. Yet he is worn with much severer labor when he is compelled to preach to one person who is subject to contrary vices. For it is commonly the case that someone is of too joyous a constitution, and yet sadness suddenly arising immoderately depresses him. The preacher, therefore, must give heed that the temporary sadness be so removed, so that the constitutional joyousness is not increased, and that the constitutional joyousness is so curbed that the temporary sadness be not aggravated. This man is burdened by a habit of immoderate precipitancy, and yet sometimes the power of a suddenly born fear impedes his doing what ought to be done in haste. That man is burdened by a habit of immoderate fear, and yet sometimes is impelled in what he desires by the rashness of immoderate precipitancy. In the one, therefore, let the fear that suddenly arises be so repressed that his long-nourished precipitancy does not further grow. In the other, let the precipitancy that suddenly arises be so repressed that yet the fear stamped on him by constitution does not gather strength. And indeed, what is there strange in the physicians of souls being on their guard in these things, when those who do not heal hearts but bodies govern themselves with such great skill of discernment? For it is often the case that extreme faintness weighs down a weak body, which faintness ought to be met by strong remedies. But yet the weak body cannot bear a strong remedy. He, therefore, who treats the case, gives heed so to draw off the supervening malady, that the pre-existing weakness of the body is in no wise increased, lest perchance the faintness should pass away with the life. He compounds, then, his remedy with such discernment as at one and the same time to meet both the faintness and the weakness. If, then, medicine for the body, administered without division, can be of service in a divided way, why should not medicine for the soul, applied in one and the same preaching, be of power to meet moral diseases in diverse directions? Which medicine is the more subtle in its operation, in that invisible things are dealt with? Chapter 38. That sometimes lighter vices are to be left alone, that more grievous ones may be removed. But since, when the sickness of two vices attacks a man, one presses upon him more lightly, and the other, perchance, more heavily, it is undoubtedly right to haste to the succor of that through which there is the more rapid tendency to death. And if the one cannot be restrained from causing the death which is imminent, unless the other, which is contrary to it, increase, the preacher must be content by skillful management in his exhortation to allow one to increase, to the end that he may keep the other back from causing the death which is imminent. When he does this, he does not aggravate the disease, but preserves the life of his sufferer, to whom he administers the medicine, that he may find a fitting time for searching out means of recovery. For there is often one who, while he puts no restraint on his gluttony in food, is presently pressed hard by the stings of lechery, which is on the point of overcoming him, and who, when terrified by the fear of this struggle, he strives to restrain himself through abstinence, is harassed by the temptation of vainglory. In which case, certainly one vice is by no means extinguished unless the other be fostered. Which plague, then, should be the more ardently attacked, but that which presses on the man the more dangerously? For it is to be tolerated that through the virtue of abstinence, arrogance should meanwhile grow against one that is alive, lest through gluttony, lechery should cut him off from life entirely. Hence it is that Paul, when he considered that his weak hearer would either continue to do evil, or rejoice in the reward of human praise for doing good, said, "Will you not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same." For it is not that good things should be done in order that no human power may be feared, or that the glory of transitory praise may therefore be won. But considering that the weak soul could not rise to so great strength as to shun at the same time both wickedness and praise, the excellent preacher, in his admonition, offered something and took away something. For by conceding mild ailments, he drew off keener ones. That since the mind could not rise all at once to the relinquishing of all its vices, it might, while left in familiarity with some one of them, be taken off without difficulty from another. End of chapter 38.